Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're headed to the much-beloved landscape of Martha's Vineyard. Recently, our producer, Allison Bruzek, she really took one for the team and spent an entire day on the spectacular vineyard with David Foster. He's the director of the Harvard Forest, and he's published a new natural history of the island called A Meeting of Land and Sea, Nature and the Future of Martha's Vineyard. Together, they toured some of Foster's favorite spots to talk about how Martha's Vineyard was shaped and how to best protect it.
Passengers, bicyclists, you're next.
Driving in his silver Prius, David Foster and I are taking a ferry to the island off the southeast coast of Martha's Vineyard, Chappaquiddick. He wants to show me, in a most dramatic fashion, the importance of looking at the history of a place to understand its future. We're headed to Waysquey Point, home to some of the fastest rates of erosion on the eastern seaboard.
Ooh, fog, though. Marvelous. So we want to get within about 4 feet.
Just beyond the fog, we can see the barrier beach. It's a strip of sand that barely crests out of the water and runs parallel to the shore. The ridge protects the cliff we're standing on, for now.
We're standing on a 25 to 30 foot tall kind of wall of sand looking down at the beach. So the water used to wash right up against this and just undermine. This is just pure sand, and so every time a wave hit it, it just crumbled. So the beach now protects the bluff, but you can still see the evidence of the big trees that have fallen from the bluff. When the barrier beach breaks and when there's a big storm, this kind of beach disappears overnight. So it's completely ephemeral. Looks so permanent, so solid, but water washes it away and nothing.
The ocean takes 3 to 5 feet of the south shore on average each year, and it was a hard lesson learned for the area's most notorious piece of architecture, the Shifter House.
So this house used to be right there on the very edge of the bluff. It's an immense house. It's something on the order of 8,000 square feet. So it was quite a feat to move that whole thing. So that house was built in a place that it should never have been allowed if people had paid good attention to the historical understanding out here. They would have realized how vulnerable it was. Hundreds of feet of coastline receded backwards and eroded. It's pure sand going down about 20 feet on that bluff. This was very easy to erode.
Foster says the shifters, their planners and engineers, and everyone who approved the house took too short a view of history. Had they looked back centuries to work done by coastal topographer Henry Whiting, they would have seen records calling Waysquey one of the most quickly eroding spots on the northeastern coast. And that same history now points to more powerful hurricanes.
The people who built the houses here, the boards that allowed them to build the houses here, they were surprised by the erosion. People will be surprised by the next hurricane because we could easily have hurricanes that are much more powerful than anybody has ever experienced, because we know that the 20th century hurricanes that affected Martha's Vineyard were modest in comparison to the ones that occurred here in the 19th century and especially the 17th century. So we might be less surprised if we spent more time looking at history.
And ultimately, Foster says, based on history, we know what will happen to the Shifter House.
The beach will move to the north, and all the property that this fellow owns will be lost.
It's sobering context for the future, and something Foster wants people to keep in mind. Back in his car, we drive to a place with a much happier conclusion, and one of his favorite places on the island.
You want me to give away my favorite spot?
Okay, I won't entirely reveal the location, but he describes our setting.
We're standing here right adjacent to the old Indian burial ground on Chappaquiddick, overlooking Cape Pogue Bay. We We can see the lighthouse off in the distance.
It's a beautiful scene. The blues of the water set against the bright greens of lush island vegetation. But Foster likes it for more than its beauty. It's one of the island's great conservation stories. He points toward the pasture land and brush to our left.
Out in front of us is, in a sense, one of the future directions for conservation, which is conservation is not just protecting intact sites, it's managing sites so that they become even more beneficial for nature and for people.
It used to be dotted with houses. Now it's thriving flora.
The tendency in affluent places is to conserve nature or conserve old farmland and just try to hold it as it is and not use it at all and kind of freeze nature. Well, you can't freeze nature to begin with, but all that landscape actually used to produce food or timber or whatever. At the same time, we want to eat well and we want to live in wooden houses and have beautiful wooden desks and furniture and so on. So the wood and the products have to come from someplace. And so we can learn much more about conserving better and then utilizing nature to our advantage, but in ways that respect nature.
Our last stop on the tour is a woods preserve next to the main road that winds around the vineyard.
This is one of the big intact forest areas on the island.
Here, Foster wants to show me the ways in which nature can and will continue to cope without humans intervening.
There was this outbreak 3 years in a row of a native caterpillar that defoliated the oaks, and then in the third year there was a drought and all the trees died. I mean, literally across the entire ridge, all the trees died. And since then, the trees have gradually lost all their branches and lost all their bark and are starting to fall over. And at the same time, there's been this absolutely phenomenal resurgence of young growth, of new saplings, of sprouts, of new seedlings. And in the intervening time, all the plants that were in the understory, all of the blueberries and huckleberries and all the seeds that were in the soil, like raspberries, have all just flourished. And so there's been this incredible kind of banquet of berries in what was a forest. And so it's a perfect example of the way that nature copes with what we would perceive as a disaster or as just incredible damage to the landscape.
I asked Foster about what's going to happen as the effects of climate change continue, and he surprises me.
Climate change impacts so far are relatively subtle. They're shifts in the timing of vegetation, greening up of particular species, and their population changes through the year, the time that they arrive, the times that they breed, and things like that. And those are relatively subtle in comparison to these massive changes that have occurred by direct human activity of building houses and so on. And so it's going to be a long time before climate change has an impact that is commensurate with that.
He says the hands-off approach for humans is the best way to allow the vineyard to thrive in the future.
As climate change impacts happen, as we have hurricanes, as we have insects that are defoliating forests or altering other types of vegetation, nature is actually remarkably resilient, but it's only resilient if we keep it intact.
That story from Radio Boston's Allison Bruzek. She spoke with David Foster, director of the Harvard Forest at Harvard University. His new book is A Meeting of Land and Sea, Nature and the Future of Martha's Vineyard. They began their beautiful conversation in Chappaquiddick and ended in West Tisbury. And that's where we're going to end this week's Radio Boston. So have a lovely weekend. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.